Feel bad that no one has Mar Makomos, but again, if you have a Beis Yosef, it's great. If you have Shulchan Aruch, it's really great also. The Masifta happens to go through this sugya, Halacha Lemaisa, very clearly the exact way you would learn it through a Torah Beis Yosef. So if you have a Masifta, that would be great also. Just really goes through the sugya exactly straight from the beginning to the end, Halacha Lemaisa. I'm the only one that has a Masifta yet, so I get to use it. It's this book, this big fat, yeah. It's a great sheet book, but he happens to go through just exactly the way you go through Torah, Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, everything you can say there. The sugya we're learning today, again, as I mentioned before, is how big does your Talis Katan have to be? It is fascinating that all of the poskim, when they discuss the Shiva Talis Katan, all start with the same problem, and that is that nobody's Talis Katan is big enough. Meaning, this goes back generations. Rishonim already talk about the fact that there's a big problem that, based on everyone's cheshbon, all the tzitzis that most people wear are pasul, and everyone's making a bracha v'atala. Rav Moshe even has a tshuva, I think in Siman Aleph of one of the chalakim of Aruch Chaim, maybe Chelo Gimel Siman Aleph, the very first siman, one of the chalakim of Aruch Chaim, Rav Moshe was asked, why is it that yeshiva bachrim don't say a bracha on their talis katan? And he says, I don't know what you're talking about. Who says yeshiva brachim don't say brachim on their talis katan? I never heard of such a thing in my life, that yeshiva brachim don't say brachim on talis katan. When you start wearing talis gadol, you don't say brachim on talis katan, because you have in mind that talis gadol, the brachim on talis gadol works for both. But a yeshiva brachim who's not wearing talis gadol, of course it says a brachim on the talis katan. But Rav Moshe says, maybe what you mean is that the yeshiva brachim are probably wearing talis katan that's too small, and therefore not getting the mitzvah, so they don't want to say the bracha. But he says the solution isn't to not say the bracha. What's the solution in that case? Get a bigger talis katan, and then you say the bracha. I mean, if you're not doing the mitzvah, and therefore you can't say the bracha, the solution is do the mitzvah, and then you'll be able to say the birchas mitzvah, and that would solve the problem. But this has been a big problem. So if at the end of the sugya you discover that your talis katan is highly problematic, at least you should know you're in good company. But maybe next time we take a trip to Woodridge, you should go to the Sfarim toy store and buy a larger talis katan.
Yeah,
so
resident fails there also.
Like when you kiss
tzitzis
after bracha, that's like a minute or like a
long? When what?
Like when you kiss tzitzis.
That's a minute. Yeah, the generally speaking, the Birchas HaMitzvah just has to be done before the Asiyas HaMitzvah of Asiyas, and so we do something in Atifa, moving, putting it on, something like that. Okay, so let's see the sugya from the beginning. How large does the Talis Katan have to be? So the Gemara tells us, in a totally different context, it really starts an entirely different conversation. Which this is right in the middle of the sugya of Hitil HaMutalas, which is a sugya that we pretty much skipped. Hitil HaMutalas means that you put tzitzis in a beged that already has tzitzis. We mentioned it briefly in the past, but we're not getting into that sugya because most people don't do that. Meaning, I would assume, it's not so practical. You're not putting tzitzis in the beged that already has tzitzis. So Amar Rabbi Zera, says Rabbi Zera in the bottom of the base, Amar Rav Masar Mishmuel, Tcheles Ein B'Mishum Klayim. You should know that if someone puts tcheles, which means by definition wool strings, in a linen garment, it's not an iser of shatness. The Torah doesn't answer shatness in tzitzis. Va'afilu b'talis petura. Even if you decide to make shatness in a talis that's otherwise pater, it's not a problem. That's okay. So the Gemara says, well, my talis petura. What exactly is a talis petura? What does it mean, a talis that's otherwise pater? Ilema d'lespa shi'ura. And this is going to be a havamina that the Gemara rejects. The Gemara is going to have two possibilities what a talis petura means. The first possibility is a talis that's too small. So we happen to mention a quick line or two about a talis that's too small. And that's our entire sugya, that little hava amina, where we say, oh, maybe talis petura means you're putting tzitzis in a talis that's too small, which means you have a mini beged that has dalet kanfos. You take a miniature beged that has dalet kanfos, and you decide to put shatness in it. You put wool tzitzis in this mini linen baguette. That the havamina is, that's fine. It's no problem with shatness, even though you're not getting any mitzvah. The Gemara is going to reject that. The Gemara is going to say, no, that's not fine. If you're not getting a mitzvah, you're not allowed to put shatness in the tzitzis. That's obviously not fine. But again, the point that we're going to just draw out is what it happens to mention about a mini baguette. How mini is a mini baguette? How small is a small baguette? So, ilema, if your talis petura means lespa shi'ura, that it doesn't have the proper size to be chayiv in tzitzis. No, that can't be the case that it's lespa shi'ura, v'atanya, because we have a brisa that talis shakatan mischasabo rosho verubo. The brisa tells us if a talis is large enough that a child can cover Rosho Verubo, his head and his majority, the majority of his body, in the talis, Vahagadol Yotzeba, and a Gadol would go out with it, Derech Harai. How do you translate Derech Harai?
Temporarily
or occasionally, meaning a Gadol wouldn't typically go out wearing this, but occasionally he would go out wearing this, Chayevas Pitzitzis. Then such a talis is Chayev and Tzitzis. So, but Eina Katan Mischasa Barosh of Urubo. But if a child would not wear, would not cover the majority of a child, Aval Pisha Gadol Yotziba Arai Pitura. Then even if a Gadol would go out once in a while with it, it's still going to be Pater. It means you definitely need it to be big enough that it covers a Katan Rosh of Urubo. That for sure you need. And you may also need that a Gadol would go out with it once in a while. So then the Brisa adds on that, V'chein le'inyan klayim, and you should know the same is true for shatnez. What does it mean the same is true for shatnez? So at the Gemara is going to say, that means if the talus is smaller than that size, it's going to be asur to put shatnez in it. So that can't be the case of talus petura, where you're mutter to put shatnez. It can't be a mini talus, because if it's a mini talus, you're not allowed to put shatnez. But leaving out the rest of the Gemara, just those couple of lines, that Brisa, that's all we need to really focus on for now. That Brisa, what did the Brisa tell us? That what's the shear of a talus katan? How big does a talus katan have to be in order to be chayv and tzitzis? No, so what's the shear? If you wear a talis gadol, like in the conservative synagogues where they have like the scarf talisim, so a lot of times that's not the shear of mischasa barosh of urubo. Plus, it's not even worn as a beged over the body. But what would the what would the shear be if you read this gemara? How big does it have to be? Katan mischasa barosh. What about the other shear? We also said that a gadol would go out arai. So there are a couple of ways that you would deal with this. If you're a Rishon, before seeing any of the Rishonim, what would you say? We have two Shiurim, and the Gemara goes out of its way to say that sometimes a Gadol might go out Arai in a garment that does not cover Rosh HaVerubo of a Katan, and that's no good. It needs to be big enough that it covers Rosh HaVerubo of a Katan.
It seems like it's more dependent on the Katan, because the fact is that it says that we don't care whether or not. If the Gadol wants to wear, we won't
The fact that the last line says that I don't care if the Gadol is Yotzi Babashuk, if it's not big enough for the Katan to cover Rosh HaVerubo of the Katan, so that's got to be the real shear, right? Which then begs the question, if you're going to hold that way, that's got to be the real shear, why even mention anything about a Gadol being Yotzi Babashuk? That's going to be the bomb kasha, the big kasha that all of the Rishonim and Achronim deal with. If you're going to assume that there's only one shear of tzitzis, and that shear is katan yotzi barosh v'rubo. Just setting up the sugi, even before we get into that kasha. So how big is that? Katan yotzi barosh v'rubo. What might that depend on? Katan yotzi barosh v'rubo. What? How big the kid is. There are lots of kids in Camp Kevi. Look around. They're not all the same size. Some of them are a little... Four kids in Camp Kelly. I have four kids in Camp Kelly, and they come in all different sizes. I have two that are 2 years apart from each other, and the younger one is bigger than the older. It's like it's very hard to figure out the size of children. What does that mean? The size of a katan. My 7-year-old's a katan. My 11-year-old's a katan. They're all katanim. So what does it mean? A 7-year-old or an 11-year-old? What size katan? So that's one problem you're gonna have to deal with. The other thing we're gonna have to define is. What do the words mean? That mischasabo, rosho verubo. How do you understand that? That it covers rosho verubo. What does it have to cover? How do you picture it? No, you read the Gemara.
Body.
What?
So
where's the talus? Yeah, the talus. So does that mean that I should? Let's say I'm the katan. I'm not. I'm very big, really. But let's say I'm the katan. So I would take the talus and I would go like this, measure it like this, and see. Well, okay,
it's on it.
Or he'd have to wrap it around himself and see if it wraps around his body.
Well, that's what covering means, I think.
Well, maybe we're just giving a shear of how long it has to be. So it has to be long enough. Or if it's a talus katan, would it need to be over on both sides?
Yes.
Meaning Rosh HaVerubo, like I'd have to go like that and see if it covers Rosh HaVerubo. And how do I define majority? Is it majority I measure from shoulders to toes and majority... Majority including the head?
60% is majority.
Yeah. No. 51% is majority.
So shoulders to toes, majority.
Yeah.
That's what you would say.
That's Rosho.
Rosho is Rosho. Rubo's separate from Rosho.
Everything else
Okay, good. Meaning, if it meant Rosho, if it meant Rubo, which includes Rosh, well, then it wouldn't have said Rosho Rubo, it just would have said Rubo, right? It just would have said, it just would have said Rob. So that's obviously, these things are very, if it would have said X amount of Tfachim or X amount of Amos, then our lives would have been a lot easier. It would have been much easier to figure out. But it didn't say that. So now we have to figure out what all of this means. So there are two basic approaches in the Rishonim as to what, whether the Gemara is giving one shear or two shiurim. Meaning, is it one shear just that a katan is mischas of barosh of rubo, or are we saying you need two? Who is the shita that holds, for those who got to take a look at the Beis Yosef, who's the shita that holds that it's there's one shear, it's katan mischas of barosh of rubo, and that's it? It doesn't really matter about a gadol at all? The one could be medayik that way from the Rambam, right? One could be medayik that way from the Rambam, but the Beis Yosef quotes it from... Okay. Okay. The primary shita seems to be the Mari Abuav. That seems to be the original shita, and he's quoted by the Beis Yosef in Siman Tes Zayin. So the Mari Abuav writes says that the pure shear is that it's Rosh of Ruba, that it covers Rosh of Ruba of Katan. And he's been dyked that from the Rambam in the third parak of Hilchos Tzitzis, where the Rambam says Sheis Chasa Rosh of Ruba of Katan, and he leaves out the extra Tanai, he leaves out the idea of a Gadol being Yotzi L'Shuk. He says nothing about a Gadol of Yotzi L'Shuk. The reason that I didn't immediately, as soon as Rambam said Shitas HaRambam, I didn't immediately say, yeah, you're right, that's the Shitas HaRambam, is that there is some dispute whether that in fact is the Shitas HaRambam. Meaning, even though the Rambam writes only that qualification, that it has to cover Rosh Berubo, that's what the Rambam writes, Magen Avram says, yeah, he means both, but, you know, usually they're the same, so he only mentions one of them. So there is some debate whether the Rambam really holds like this Mari Abuav, but the Mari Abuav holds, clearly, only if it covers Rosh Berubo Vakata, nothing else matters. So that's the Shitas HaRambam. Now, the Mari Abuav says, now, if that's the case, we understand, we could answer very well the end of the Braisa. What did the end of the Braisa say? That if it covers Rosh of Ruba, if it doesn't cover Rosh of Ruba of a Katan, even if a Gadol is Yotzi B'Shuk, Arai, if it doesn't cover Rosh of Ruba of a Katan, no, what's the halacha? It's part from Tzitzis, not Chayiv and Tzitzis. Why does the Braisa, if both qualifications were needed, the Braisa then should have said, and if a gadol doesn't go out b'shuk, even if it covers Rosh Ruba of a Katan, it should have said it's also pater. If you need both in order for it to be chayiv, it should have said the flip side also. But it didn't. It didn't say the flip side. Says Maria Boav, why didn't it say that? Because there's really only one qualification for tzitzis, Rosh Ruba of a Katan, and that's it. So if you would have a case where it doesn't cover Rosh Ruba of a Katan, but a gadol is yotze bo b'shuk, so that the Braisa tells us is pater, but if it does cover Rosh of Ruba of a Katan, and a Gadol would not be Yotzi B'Shuk, it would be Chayiv, because it all matters just based on Rosh of Ruba of a Katan. But that begs the obvious question, why does the Gemara even bother mentioning Gadol Yotzi Arai? What's the point? If it has nothing to do with anything, whether Gadol is Yotzi Arai. Also, by the way, just a totally separate question, just I forgot to mention before. When we talk about Gadol Yotzei Arai, what does that mean exactly? Does that mean if he's not wearing any other clothing? Does that mean he'd wear this as his shirt, but he's wearing pants also? And nowadays, right, the style of clothing is he wouldn't wear any four-cornered garment as his shirt ever, no matter how big it is. We just don't do that. We don't wear four-cornered garments. It's totally open on the side. So people just wouldn't do that. So nowadays we wouldn't do that anyway. So even if you want to say that Gadol Yotzei Arai is part of the definition, we have just as much difficulty translating that as we do Rosh Ruba of Katan. It's all very troubling. It's all very difficult to actually put into real numbers. So when we actually get down to real numbers, we're just going to sort of have to have a little bit of a leap of faith and trust the poskim that they know what they're talking about in terms of the real numbers. Because even if you could determine the age of the katan, like I said before, even katanim of a certain age, you know, could vary, and they're coming different widths and different heights and different. They don't always match up. So it's difficult to understand. But let's go back to this question first. Why mention the gadol at all if the gadol has absolutely nothing to do with it? Any thoughts? What did you see this morning?
Explain, Shai.
What?
Explain, Shai.
What do you mean?
Like, you won't understand one without the other.
We don't understand what the word katan means?
And you won't understand the case.
Okay, we'll elaborate on that in a moment. What does that mean? So why mention the gadol? Tell me that in order to be chayiv in tzitzis, it needs to be big enough that in order for a beggar to be chayiv in tzitzis, it needs to be big enough that a katan. But we're saying, Maria Buaf says, it all depends on Rosh HaBurubah of the katan. Nothing else. Yeah? What do you mean? One of the other fundamental problems we raise in our Gemara is that a katan, a 4-year-old's a katan, and a 12-year-old's a katan. What age katan? So the Gemara is telling us the age of a katan, where when you measure Rosh HaBurubah, you'll get the kind of beged that a gadol will be Yosei L'shuk. That's the age of a katan that we're talking about. So one way to defend Maria Buav, the way to read the Gemara is, the shir is Rosh HaBurubah of a katan. The problem is, what does the word katan mean? So in order to translate what the word katan means, the Gemara tells us it would be the age of a child that when you were to take his Rosh HaBurubah, you'd end up with a beged that a gadol would not be embarrassed to go out with. So that's why it mentions the gedar of a gadol as well. That's a suggestion made by some of the Rishonim. Meaning that's a suggestion that's made by the Prisha on the bottom of the tour. The Prisha says that's not in the Beis Yosef, I don't think that explanation was brought in the Beis Yosef, but the Prisha on the bottom of the tour says that suggestion, that's why we mention a katan.
I explained the Beis Yosef very well.
Explain.
The Beis Yosef says that about a katan would be embarrassed to go out uncovered. The katan and the gadol are the exact same thing.
That the age of the katan is a katan who otherwise wouldn't go out uncovered. Good. Right. We'll get to that. We'll get to that in a moment also.
What? I explained it that the gadol wouldn't be embarrassed to go out. That's how you
just... No. Meaning, what Justin's referring to is there is a discussion how old of a katan we're talking about also. So we might be talking about a katan who's old enough that he would no longer walk around naked. You know, like a 3-year-old doesn't care. Just walk around naked, you know, just doesn't care. Whatever. Stories in my kids, but I always have my shear over. One of my children, they have a shear barbecue out in the backyard. And one of my children was young and was being totally trained and was out in the backyard and dropped his pants and just peed all over. So, you know, there's a certain age where that's acceptable. He was just past that age where it was acceptable. But anyway, so the Mugi Yosef defines a katan by that. So if that's the definition of a katan, that might fit very nicely with this. So that's one approach. There are four approaches to try and understand why, according to Maria Buav, why we would even mention the idea of a gadol. Another approach that's mentioned is, and Maria Buav himself deals with it, and it's quoted in the Beis Yosef, but it's a machlokas what he means when he says what he says. So the way the Beis Yosef understands Maria Buav's definition of defense of himself is that it's not about the child's chiyuv. Meaning, if you were to read the Gemara, you'd say, oh, you know how big a talus has to be in order to be chayiv in tzitzis? Big enough to cover Rosh HaBurubah of a katan. I would assume that we're talking about a child's tzitzis. That we're talking about when you get your kid tzitzis, make sure it covers Rosh HaBurubah. I would not know that we're talking about how large the tzitzis has to be for a gadol to be chayiv in the midst of tzitzis. In order to make it clear that this is a halacha for people who are over bar mitzvah, and we're just using the child as a way of measuring the size of the beged for the people who are over bar mitzvah, Just to clarify that, the Gemara adds, yeah, and that's the size of a baghead, that a gadol would be yotzi l'shuk derech harai. That's why the Gemara, okay, that's the way Beis Yosef understands Mary Abuav, that's why it adds the idea of a gadol. Because if you didn't have the idea of a gadol, we would not have understood what the Gemara was talking about. We would have thought the Gemara was talking about you're buying tzitzis for your kid, and you want to know how big the tzitzis should be for the kid, see if it covers Rosh of Rubel, then buy it for him. That's what we would have assumed. Now the problem with that approach, what's the problem with that approach? Yeah, meaning it's idiotic to assume that. No? Meaning it's assuming we're all idiots. Meaning why would I assume that? I would assume that it's telling me that there's a shear for a katan. Why would there be a shear for a katan? Katan's not chayiv at all, the mitzvahs. So why would there be a shear for a katan? Unless it's talking about a shear for a katan who's already at the age of chinuch, and that's the shear, and therefore it's a sliding shear, and I would have assumed that it's got to be Rosh of Rubo of whoever the person is, yeah?
Also, then the second part of the Gemara wouldn't really make sense in the case where it wouldn't cover Rosh of Rubo, but the Gadol would go out the shuk, because then if the Gadol is explained the case of the katan, then it's the same size.
Well, no, what we're saying is, had we not had any word about a Gadol at all in the Gemara, we would have assumed it's talking about a katan. Once we have words about a Gadol, so then we know what it's about.
Yeah,
you mean, you're right. The rest of the whole conversation, as soon as you mention the word gadol, none of this makes sense. That havamina wouldn't make sense. But that's why the word gadol is there. So that you don't think this whole conversation is about how big the tzitzit should be for a child.
Well, I'm not even talking about the havamina, his answer. That doesn't make so much sense according to Gemara, because he says that the size that they would cover the katan on Rosh Hashanah and the size that the gadol would go out is the same size.
Right. So what the Gemara is doing, what the Bryce is doing with that line is telling you is that even though, you know, lo kol adeil shavos, and not every generation is the same, and everyone has different things that they're embarrassed about or whatever, the real shear is an objective shear of Rosh Hashanah of Katan. Gadol is a way of letting you know what that shear is for. But the real shear, that's the Bryce that, you know, driving that point home, that the real shear is about the Rosh Hashanah of Katan. That's what that's how to understand that line. So that's two defenses so far of Maria Buav of why we mention Gadol. A third possible defense, which also might be what Maria Buav himself says. This is the way the Aruch HaShulchan reads the Maria Buav. The Aruch HaShulchan reads it that the reason it says about the Gadol, that Gadol Yotzi Bo Derech Harai, is so that one shouldn't wonder why the shear of tzitzis should be talui in a katan. Meaning, the katan is not the one who's chayiv in tzitzis, I'm chayiv in tzitzis. So why would the size of my beged depend on how much it covers on a child? So lest you think to yourself, it makes no sense to define my beged by a kid's size, the Gemara adds, no, the kid's size tends to match up with a kind of beged that I would wear on occasion. So it's not really about the kid's size that defines the beged. What defines the beged? What I would wear on occasion, that's what defines the beged. So the Gemara adds that in just so that it won't be so strange to us. Because otherwise it would just be strange. It's not that I would think we're talking about the chiyuv of a katan. No, I know I'm talking about a chiyuv of a gadol. But it would sound really strange that the chiyuv of a gadol is defined by how big a child is. That wouldn't make sense to me. So it tells us, though, you should know that it aligns more or less with what a gadol would be embarrassed about with occasionally.
And okay, what about the case where he's not embarrassed about it?
Again, that's very meaning you're saying that if it's you live in a time and place where someone would be embarrassed to go out like that. Then, meaning, explain the question. The svara is that, again, this is his understanding of Maria Buav.
He says, no, it's not tali on the katan. Really, the only reason why we're mentioning the katan is because it's
No. The only reason it is tali on the katan. The whole shear is tali on the size of the katan.
Why is it tali on the katan?
But you might think it's odd that my beged, my chiv tzitzis.
It is odd, though, in that case.
So the answer is, it's not so odd because the size of the katan typically matches what a gadol would occasionally go out with.
Why is it still taller on the katan if sometimes I...
Because a gadol is subjective. Meaning, who's going to be embarrassed, who's not going to be embarrassed, who would go out of rai, who would not go out of rai. Katan is more of an objective shear. Because it's not about how he feels. It's about measuring Rosh HaVerubah. It's not about is he embarrassed, is he not embarrassed. Just hold the baguette up against whatever you deem to be the average-sized child. Take the 50th percentile, you know, take Joe average, and, you know, of whatever age you think is the katan we're talking about, and you just measure him, and that's it. By the gadol, we're talking about what he's embarrassed about, what he's not embarrassed. That becomes very subjective. So it's not shaykh that you're going to have a guy who, and sometimes people change over time. A guy, let's say, before he goes to learn in Israel, and he's, you know, he works out a lot, so he's always walking around without a shirt on, or with muscle shirts or whatever, and, you know, because he wants to show off. And then he develops a little sense of tznius in Eretz Yisrael or whatever. So once he develops a little sense of tznius, so now he's not going to, he's going to be a little more modest about the kind of thing he would wear. So all his tzitzis that were good then, now all of a sudden he's got to chuck all of his tzitzis, not chayvin tzitzis. It's going to change. It's probably something more objective. It's less subjective. So the shir is really katan Rosh HaVerubah. It happens to be, you should know that that's not so strange that we should measure by a katan when we're talking about the chiyuv of a gadol, because a gadol sometimes, because it often matches what a typical gadol would not be embarrassed about with occasionally. There is a fourth defense of the Maria of Shita. I didn't understand it at all, so I can't really say it over. So, well, and it's quoted in the Beis Yosef. If you could try your best and get back to me on that. Mari ben Chabib, he quotes, that has a different understanding. But those we'll stick with those three. Now, next step. Is there anyone that disagrees? Is there anyone that holds the other way? Meaning, this was all within the Shita that holds that there's only one Shir of Tzitzis. Shir of Tzitzis is Rosh HaVerubah of a Katan. Is there anyone that holds? No. In order for something to be chayv and tzitzis, you need both Rosh HaVerubah of a katan and that a gadol will not be embarrassed to go out with it. So, if you have Shulchan Aruch, anyone have the Shulchan Aruch available? Here, one. All right. Sorry. We'll take the in Siman Tes Zayin. It's a great, you know, it's when it's a short siman like this, like you could really go through a whole sugya in one morning. It's really fantastic. This is not a shulchan. Oh, it is? Okay. All right. I'm not used to this. I'm not used to these fancy things. I gotta get with the times, I know. All right. Siman Tes Zayin says the shulchan aruch. Shir talis shechayiv betzitzis. Sheyischasa bo ba'oruch u'baruchav rosh avrubo shel katan. Hamasalich levado b'shuk. Veinu tzarech acher l'shomram. He defines how big, how old the katan is. Rosh avrubo v'katan. That's it. That's all the shulchan aruch says. Says the Rama, Hagah, va'az chayiv betzitzis, v'dafka shahagadol lov sho pa'amim arai v'yotzi bol l'shuk. So the Rama apparently holds that that's only provided that the gadol also will go out b'shuk with it once in a while. So what does the Rama sound like? That you need, in order to be chayiv betzitzis, what do you need? Both, right? You need both. Now here's the problem with that Rama. The Rama wrote another sefer before he wrote the Rama. What sefer did he write before he wrote the Rama? Darkei Moshe. So you're familiar with the way this works? The Rav Yosef Cairo, at the time when the Rama and Rav Yosef Cairo were alive, Rav Yosef Cairo was the Gadol Dar. He was like this 70-year-old, you know, Gadol Dar. Everyone recognized him as Gadol Dar. In Krakow lived a 35-year-old rabbi named Rav Moshe Isserles. And he was working very hard on a sefer that was going to really show how you get from every sugya down to halacha lemaisa and go through the sugyas very carefully. And he was working very, very hard on the sefer. And years and years and years he put into the sefer. And he was about to publish the sefer. And then someone came to him and said, "You're not going to believe it, the most unbelievable sefer just came out. The Gadol Hadar, Rav Yosef Cairo, just published this Beis Yosef, where he goes through every sugya and shows you how it plays out halacha lemaisa, and he wrote it as commentary on the Torah. It's fantastic. It goes through all the Rishonim and, you know, and brings everything down, how it plays out la halacha." And he was devastated. This is not just a Bob Maisa to tell. This is in the Hakdamah to the Darkei Moshe. He writes this in Darkei Moshe. He thought his life was over. Like, he had just spent years and years working on this book, and Rav Yosef Cairo, and he, it's not like he could compete with Rav Yosef Cairo. Rav Yosef Cairo is the Gadol Dar. He's a 35-year-old rabbi in Krakow. There's no way that he's competing with Rav Yosef Cairo. And then he started looking through the Beis Yosef's book, And he saw that one could object to the Beis Yosef style. I mean, he did a great job. I mean, he went through every sugya and he found all the Rishonim. But then when it came down to Paskin the Halacha, all the Beis Yosef did was he said, forget all the Rishonim, let's just take three. Rambam, Rif, Rash, and we'll Paskin like the majority of those three. And the Rambam said, well, I'm Ashkenazic, and the Rambam and the Rif are both Sephardic, and even the Rush is sort of half a Sephardi. Whatever, long story, historically, the Rush lived half his life in Sephardi communities. He said, that's not fair. What about all the Ashkenazi rabbis? So he found his Pesach, he found his opening, so he wrote it, Darkei Moshe Aruch, Darkei Moshe Akatzer, and he added it, he knew that to come out with a competing sefer with the Beis Yosef is not going to stand a chance, but maybe if he adds an Ashkenazic layer to the Beis Yosef, he stands a chance. And he did the same thing with the Shulchan Aruch, that's the mapa on the Shulchan Aruch, that the Rama says, and whenever the Ashkenazim do different, he always adds a little bit. So in the Darkei Moshe, he says as follows: the Kosovo Beis Yosef Shir Chiyavatalusuk Shakatan Yotze Balashuk Afal Pisha In Godel Yotze Ba Arai Vahada Amar Vagodel Yotzebo Hainu Lomar Shain Chiyav Betzitzis Ella Kishagodel Yotze Ba Arai Avalo Katan Shaina Katan Lo Shokhai Betzitzis Kane Kosovo Maria Buav. So he quotes the Maria Buav and the Beis Yosef. And he says, "Ayin lo simches kol din avrakav shenogim b'zman hazeh im yotzim behem." So essentially, what he says is, he quotes Maria Buav, and that's it. And he seems to be masking with the Maria Buav, and he doesn't argue at all. He never says no, but kol rabbanei Ashkenaz disagree or whatever. So from the Darkei Moshe, you'd get the impression that he agrees that you only have one din, one criteria. And that criteria is Rosh Merubah V'Katan. But then in the Ramah, he adds a second criteria. So that's troubling. But he does say it in the Ramah, so we could call it the Shitas HaRamah. The Shitas HaRamah is that you need both criteria in order to be Chayiv and Tzitzis. You need both that it's Rosh Merubah V'Katan and that a Gadol will go out Arai in the Shuk. So the Magen Avraham just adds that... Okay, I mean, Magen Avraham points out that it's troubling that he holds like the Maria Buav on the one hand and holds like the and says this other sheet on the other hand. Now, is there any sort of heter for the Minhag HaOlam to go out to have an overly small talis katan? So, in order to understand why or how the Achronim try to defend the Minhag to have very small talis katan, there's one more major shita that needs to be discussed, and that is the shita of the Bach. Let's say you have a gadol that goes out all the time with a very small beged. A gadol, like we said before, just not so tenoy, whatever, he's not so embarrassed, he's very, he likes to go out in a small beged. So the Bach writes as follows. The Bach on the side of the Torah, he says, what's the lashon of the gadol when we define who the gadol is? The gadol is someone who's yotze. What did we say? Arai. What does arai mean?
Temporarily.
What if the gadol goes out all the time like that? What did the Bryce say? If you have a beged that doesn't cover rosh of arubo of a katan, even if a gadol's yotze arai, it's still going to be potter. Says the Bach. And what if the gadol's yotze bekeva? It doesn't cover Rosh HaMerubah V'Katan. But a gadol, not just will he be Yotzei Arai with it, he'll be Yotzei Bekeva with it. He'll always wear such a beged. Says the Bach, crazy, it's a wild chiddush, says the Bach, chayiv. It's chayiv in tzitzis. Meaning, the shear of a katan is not the end all be all. Like Maria Buav, shear of a katan, Rosh of Rubav katan is enough to be mechayev in tzitzis. But there's another shear that can also be mechayev in tzitzis. And it's one that the Gemara doesn't even mention. We can only be medayek it from the Gemara, but the Gemara never mentions it explicitly. What is that other shear that the Gemara doesn't mention, but we can be medayek from the Gemara, might also be a mechayev in tzitzis? If a gadol would be yotzei, not arai, bekeva. Says the Bach, such a beggar would be chayiv in tzitzis. So now all the achronim raise the question, how come people wear such a small talis katan? How do they get around wearing such a small talis katan? Comes along Yeshua's Yaakov and says, very simple, because they wear it. So if they wear it, what does that tell you? They're wearing a bekeva. Mele it's chayiv. Why is that a very, very poor defense of the minhag? Yeah. Yeah, we wear it underneath a shirt. You know, we would never wear it as a beged to cover. You know, a person has tzitzis that only go up to here or whatever. You know, like you would never, you know, your DRS Wildcat tzitzis, for those who've seen it. You know, like you would never wear that out. Probably, I would imagine, like instead of a shirt, right? That's something that a person wouldn't wear. Pashtus. So that's the problem with the defense of the Yeshua's Yaakov. What?
Oh,
that's a different issue. Meaning, that's really from the last year about the type of beged that's chayiv in tzitzis. Meaning, even if it's big enough. If it's a kind of material that no one would ever wear because it's like no one wears that, then it might not be a beged anyway. So, what? Wool clothing? I wear wool suits all the time. You know, people wear these kinds of. But a beged that like no one in their right mind would ever you'd be embarrassed to walk outside with such a beged. Like let's say a mesh beged. That's sort of Shechter's problem with the mesh tzitzis. People are still clothing. But the problem with the Rav Shechter has with mesh tzitzis, there are a couple of problems. We didn't get to discuss it. One problem with it with the mesh tzitzis is that it's made out of synthetic materials. So it may have a din of a beged shel or. The Gemara says that a leather beged is pat from tzitzis. Why is a leather beged pat from tzitzis? I thought we paskin like the Ramah that all types of materials are chayiv midoraisa and cotton is chayiv midoraisa. So why is leather pater? So the Gemara says that leather is pater, and the Rishonim explained because you only need the only thing that counts as a textile as a material is something that needs to be woven together. Leather is just a sheet of skin that you take off of the animal, so that would be pater from tzitzis. Synthetic material also, you don't weave threads together to create synthetic material. It's just like a sheet of something. I'm not really sure exactly how they make it, but since it could be made in that way, you know, like rayon and nylon and all these kinds of things. So that's why many people think that's a problem many people have with the mesh tzitzis. Others say, no, that's not the way they make the mesh tzitzis. It's true, it's made out of materials that could be made that way, but they actually make threads out of it and then weave it together. So then maybe it should have a din of a beged. But Rav Shechter's problem with it is that who in their right mind would ever walk around with a shirt like that? Meaning he hasn't seen red carpets. He hasn't. He doesn't know the way people dress. But normally he hasn't been to the village, whatever. But... But he said, who in the right mind would ever walk outside wearing a shirt like that? No one would ever do such a thing. And therefore, it's going to be pater from tzitzis. So the difference, that's the chiluk I wanted to make when the DRS came out, is that if it's jersey material, so people do wear jersey material, people wear mesh, things like, but the mesh tzitzis aren't like jersey kind of mesh. It's, as Rav Shechter said, it's part, it's merubah al-omid, meaning there's... There's more empty space than there is actual cloth. Jerseys are more cloth than there is empty space. Mesh tzitzis is... Right, doubled over or whatever, so someone would wear it, but people wouldn't wear it. But that's a totally different sugya than this. Meaning this sugya is just about size, about how big. So if it's a beged, how big of a beged does it have to be? That's what we're discussing now. Yeah. Okay, so that's our sugya. Was it too small? So how small is too small? So that's our sugya. Now, in the Masifta over here, he quotes from the Artzos HaChayim, who has the same problem with the Yeshua's Yaakov that we raised. Meaning the Yeshua's Yaakov's defense of people who wear small tzitzis is, it's a beged kavua. Says the Artzos HaChayim, no. Who's the Artzos HaChayim? That was, we quoted once before, it's the Malbim. And he said, no, that doesn't, it doesn't, remember that we said the Malbim only wrote in the first few Simanim of Shulchan Aruch, like we have the Malbim and Tzitzis, but since someone told him to get out of the Chasam Sofer seat, he thought, right, remember that whole story? So he can't write in Halacha anymore, so he stopped writing in Halacha. But the Malbim just points out that the Yeshua's Yaakov's defense is a very weak defense. However, on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, there's a sefer called the Vushei Sarad that has a slightly different definition. where he suggests as follows. He says, since if a gadol would go up a derech keva, it would be chayiv in tzitzis, so even a beggar that he doesn't go up a derech keva, he can make a bracha on, because if another guy would go up a derech keva, it would be chayiv. What does that mean? What he essentially says is, there's no real shiur. As long as anybody in the world would go up a derech keva with these tzitzis, with this beged, it's fine, you're allowed to make a bracha on it. Why are you allowed to make a bracha on it? So says Levush Yisrael like this. Are women chayiv in lulav? No. Your mother's sisters take lulav? Yeah? They say a bracha? Yeah, unless you're Sephardic, they say a bracha. Sephardim don't. But Ashkenazim say a bracha, I'm a sister in the Rambam. But what is it? They're not chayiv. How could they say a bracha? They're saying the words, Asher kitishanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu. That we've been commanded. They were not commanded. You say, hello, you're not commanded in this mitzvah. What? The Shem Yichur, a lot of people don't say anyway. You're a chassid, but a lot of people don't say the Shem Yichur. But what does that have to do with anything anyway? She can't say v'tzivanu. So why is it that they say a bracha on sukkah, on lulav?
Because someone in
Klal Yisrael is commanded, and they're part of Klal Yisrael. So they could say Vitzivanu, because Vitzivanu is not Vitzivani, it's Vitzivanu that Klal Yisrael is commanded. So says the Levush Yisrael, someone would have to make a bracha on these tzitzis. So even though I'm not chayiv in the mitzvah of tzitzis on this beged, because it's way too small, but someone is chayiv in the mitzvah of tzitzis on this beged, Mimela, I could say Vitzivanu. Shockingly, when the Masifta calls this Levush Yisrael, he does not point out why it makes absolutely no sense. Why does it make absolutely no sense? There's a big, big difference. Yeah? Right. The huge difference is, when a woman does the mitzvah of lulav, is she just wasting her time and we're like, oh, that's cute, you could do lulav? But you're not really doing anything? Is it like buying a child a plush, you know, like a pillow with lulav, or giving him a stick of celery and a lemon and saying, here? Is it the same thing? No, there is a concept of Einu Mitzuva V'yosa, that a woman is getting a kiyum a mitzvah. That she herself is actually being a mekayim a mitzvah. If she were not being a mekayim a mitzvah, to make a bracha on something when there's no kiyum a mitzvah is definitely a bracha levatala. Elamai, there's a technicality that even though she is being mekayim a mitzvah, how's it not sheker to say the word vitzivanu? Saying the word vitzivanu seems to be a lie. So the way we answer that is saying, no, it's not a lie, because broadly vitzivanu, Klal Yisrael is commanded. But the premise of the entire discussion is that she's not wasting her time, she's doing something. She's getting a mitzvah. But I put on my little, my little tiny tzitzis, my Barbie tzitzis, whatever they have, the Barbie tefillin, right? You've seen that? I'm putting on my little... You haven't seen it? Google it. I'm putting on my little tiny... They have tefillin Barbie. I'm putting on my little tiny beged. Because Ken would make a bracha on it. Mimela, that means that... Don't pretend you don't know what I'm talking about. In Mimela, that means that I'm allowed to say a bracha on it. There's zero kiyuma mitzvah for me. The whole discussion is absurd. What? Why would there be a kiyuma mitzvah? But then he's saying that there's no shiur of tzitzis.
Oh my god.
And that's against. Thank you. There you go. Okay. Big mitzvah. Tiskel mitzvah. Okay.
Maybe.
What?
No. He's saying that the shear is if anyone would wear it, there's no shear. But if no one would wear it, then that's not okay. So that's still a shear. It's just a very broad shear. No.
Meaning the shear would be for the tiniest person who has no shame. That would be the definition. Okay, maybe.
He's not saying there's a human mitzvah, just you're allowed to make it.
So the truth is, we should really look carefully at his words to figure out how he defends this. Okay, I want to get to, in the last 10 minutes, I do want to get to the... Yeah, here's the line where he says... Umuchach de tarti bina. That you need both factors. You need it to be Rosh of Rubo and Gadol. V'gam din rishon muchach midam riyotze arai mashma baha ba'inan tarti aval bekeva sagi luchud. When do you need both factors? Only if it's a gadol tziyotze arai. But if a gadol tziyotze bekeva, you don't even need it to cover vein tzarech shir de katan. V'da lefi ze yesh lilmod zchus ala am she'ein betalus shalem shi'ura de katan. That the people in general don't have a bega that's large enough to cover Rosh Ruba of a katan, umevarachim, but they still say a bracha. Why? Mishum dekivan de lagabi mishi yotzi baba keva. Have a high talis barchiyuva. Since for a guy who would wear this bekeva, this talis is chayiv and tzitzis, dalo batla daito, because we don't assume batla daito etzel das kalada. We don't assume that we just ignore him because he's crazy. That's why even those who are embarrassed to go out with it could make a bracha on it. Afilu arai, even people who would be embarrassed to go out with it once in a while. Kimo nashim shem varchan b'seishazman grama. I don't know if that's what he's saying. I don't know if he's saying what he's saying. I think he's saying the guy who wouldn't go out with an arai is not chayiv at all. The guy who would go out with the bekeva, that guy is chayiv in the tzitzis. I think he's assuming that's totally in the gavron. I don't think he's getting mitzvah. I think he's assuming he's not getting mitzvah at all. The guy who would go out with an arai, if he would go out with an arai, only if it also covers Rosh HaRubo of a...
Right.
But if you'd go out keva, then it doesn't even need to cover Rosh HaRubo of a keva. Right. Now, how big of a... Yeah?
If women are allowed to do a mitzvah because somebody else was able to do it, then why do we need the concept of how can they be also on this?
To be mechayev, then. When women do a mitzvah, they are like lulav or sukkah, they're being mechayev a mitzvah, but there's no chayev mitzvah. And we have a concept, the Gemara tells us, that Rav Yosef, that based on Rav Yosef, who was blind, the Gemara is a gadol and mitzvah v'yosef, Yosef mishen mitzvah v'yosef. That it's better to be obligated in a mitzvah. You get a higher level key when you're obligated in a mitzvah than when you're pater from a mitzvah. Why does that make sense? You get a higher level key when you're obligated in a mitzvah than when you're pater? What?
Aren't you naturally not
going to want to
do it?
So some of the Rishonim say, the Bali Atos say, because if you're not chayiv in the mitzvah, you have no yetzer hara telling you not to do it. Meaning to volunteer something is very easy, because there's no Yetzirah trying to fight you. But if you're chayiv in something, then you have a Yetzirah to overcome. Others say, no, it's just about the pressure. Bali Atos will say, it's about the pressure. When you know you have to do something, like you feel very pressured, and that pressure is where your schar comes from. Whereas if you know, like if it gets done, it gets done. If it doesn't get done, it's not a big deal. You don't feel pressured, and therefore you don't get as much schar. My favorite answer is the Ritva's answer. The Ritva says, the reason Gadol Mitzuvah Yosef Yosef Mishenu Mitzuvah Yosef is because, what does Mitzuvah Yosef mean? Mitzvah. What does mitzvah mean? What does it mean?
Commanded.
God commanded you to do it. Why do you think God commanded you to do it? Any mitzvah? Because he wants you to do it. Why do you think he didn't command other people to do it? Because he doesn't really care that much if they do it. You know why you get greater schar for a mitzvah that you're commanded to do than a mitzvah you're not commanded to do? Because God said he wants it. And God didn't care about women doing the lulav or whatever. So they'll get schar, but he doesn't care that much. He cares a lot more that we do it. That's why he told us we have to. I always thought that was the most logical, yasher way of thinking about Gadol Mitzvah V'yoseh, Yosef Mishen Mitzvah V'yoseh. But okay, quickly, just how old of a katan are we talking about? So there are a lot of different ideas that are floated around in the Rishonim. The Rambam says, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that it's a katan who could go out levado bashuk, and he doesn't need someone to watch him. He can go out all alone in the market and no one has to watch him. How old is that?
Depends where you live.
Yeah, it's about I know my cousins in Israel will send their kids out to go to the Makolet and buy something way before we would ever send my kids to Central Avenue. Right? The much, much earlier age. So that's a very difficult gedder. The Ravid says that the Rambam's right because it says Godol Yotzi Bo Derech Harai, so it has to be that we're not talking about Rosh HaRubo of someone who's very tiny. It's got to be a katan who's a little bit sizable, otherwise it wouldn't be Gadol Yotzei Arayis. So it's got to be at least the katan of that age who would go out alone.
But Yosef says that the Torah is explaining the
Rambam. And when the Torah says what? Torah gives a number. The Torah says 9 years old. And the way the Beis Yosef understands the Torah is that he's explaining the age that it was normal, I guess, in Egypt to send your kid out to the market alone without sending someone to watch him.
Is it the last item thing, you know? That you can trust him without losing his talus?
That you can trust him without losing his talus, and therefore... That's the Yosef Lashuk. And therefore, that's about 9 years old. Good. So that's how the Torah says. So I think that's the way we generally assume La Halacha, that it's about 9 years old. Great! So now I know it's the size of a 9-year-old katan, and let's assume... That the Gadol Yotzei Arayis and Katan Rosh Avruvav Katan is roughly the same size. So now I know. Just take a 9-year-old and measure him. How do I measure him? Do I measure Rosh Avruvav? Do I measure width, length, both sides it has to cover? Does it have to? Meaning Rosh Avruvav does not mean the child has to be wearing it. It has to be the size of a beged that corresponds to Rosh Avruvav. By the Gadol, we spoke about a Gadol wearing it and not being embarrassed. By the katan, we didn't talk about that. We just said, take the beged and match it up against the katan and see if it covers Rosh Avruvav. So that obviously leads to a lot of different opinions. La halacha. Yeah.
We still haven't yet. We've got the age. It still means nothing. The age
really right.
Means nothing.
It still doesn't really help us very much. So there is a... So the Achronim tried to put numbers to this. And in the Masifta over here, he quotes 5 shitos in Achronim as to what the size should be. One shita is Amal Amma. Many of the Achronim, who does he quote over here? He quotes from the Priya Aretz, Machsa Shekel, and Chazanish. One Amma by one Amma is the Shear of Tzitzis. So he says Amal Amma, and the Raya is from the fact that it says, V'shavin shalo yavi afilu Amal Amma m'makom acher u'bat cheles v'toleba. So we'll see in the Gemara later on that it mentions the idea of Amal Amma. Another shita, the first Lubavitch Rebbe and the Mishnah Brura say that it's not really Amal Amma. What the Mishnah Brura says, you need Amal Achorav and Amal Lefanav. It's a big difference. What does it mean, Amal Achorav, Amal Lefanav? You need an Amal, that means two Amas. You need an Amal in the front, Amal in the back. Amal Amma would mean the whole square of the tzitzis when you hold up the whole thing is one Amal by one Amal. That's very small. But Amal Achorav, Amal Lefanav is two amos, right? So that's much bigger. It means it needs to be two amos by one amos wide.
The amos have to be
full amos, yeah. Oh, okay, 1 second. What about the hole in the middle? Okay, we'll talk about that also. Then he quotes the Sefer Derech Chachma that suggests that it's 3/4 of an amos by 3/4 of an amos long and chatzi amos wide. So you need 3/4 of an amma on both front and back, so it's an amma and a half, but only a chatzi amma wide. Then he quotes other achronim that say 1.5 ammas long and 1 amma wide. Okay, a whole bunch of different shitos out there. Lemaisa, he says amma mechza orech. And the Mishnah Berurah says, that's at least what you need, an amma and a half, 3/4 on each side. Why is that different than the last one? Because the last one, the one before that said by chatzi amma wide, this one I think says by an amma wide. Alright, whatever it is. So, lemaisa, how big is an amma? So, according to the Chazanish, an amma is 58 centimeters, according to Grachna, an amma is 49 centimeters. So, if someone wants to make sure his tzitzis is the best, he should have a talus that's 59 times 2 centimeters long, which is 116 centimeters. Anyone have a conversion thing? How many inches is that? So 116 centimeters would mean?
Around
4 feet. You need 2 feet in front of you, 2 feet in back of you. So that's quite big. And the width would have to be 58 centimeters, which would be about 2 feet across. Now, if you hold that the hole doesn't count toward that shear, then it's really hard. If you hold that the hole does count toward that shear, it's a little bit more manageable. That's if you want to be Yotzei Kolades. But if you use Grach Na'a and you use 3/4 of an amma, so if an amma is only, what do we say, Grach Na'a is 49 centimeters, and you only need, let's say, 3/4 of an amma, which Mishmur says you could be Somechan. So 3/4 of an amma in front, 3/4 of an amma in back. What's 3/4 of 49? That's roughly 36 or so. So you need 72 centimeters, which is the equivalent of? Anyone? 72 centimeters, how many inches? 2.5 feet? Figure it out. 72 centimeters. No, no, no. You don't have a nap? Come on. What? 30 inches in total. 28 inches in total? Yeah, that's what we get. 28 inches in total. So that's 14 front, 14 back. And you count the hole, then most of our tzitzis would probably fit the bill. Most poskim, I think, assume that if you're going to rely on that shita, then you can't count the hole. Then you got to measure from the bottom of the hole. From the end of the hole. I think the V-necks assume that it's like closed, that they could view it like closed, and I think that's the kunz of the V-neck. I don't know where that comes from. I didn't see any posts going to discuss it. I'm sure it is discussed, but I don't know exactly where that comes from. Okay, that is a little bit about the shear of... I'll keep you posted on hockey tonight.